the fourth chapter, one of these great texts that follow this great book. And hear the word of the Lord this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your word would lead us into truth. Amen. I want to give a few quotes along the way in our discussion this morning from who I would call the patron saint of gratitude. This man named G.K. Chesterton, a Christian at the turn of the century, a man who had a deep influence in his writing on the writings of C.S. Lewis. And G.K. Chesterton was a Christian, is an apologist for the faith. He was a novelist, wrote prolifically. But he was also known as a joyful man who, even in the midst of debates and discussions with his most bitter enemies, who would just rake him over the coals, he had this forgiving spirit. He had this joyous laughter about him. And it is no surprise that his writings are filled with quotes on the subject of gratitude. To begin with, first quote for this morning, he writes that gratitude, being nearly the greatest of human duties, is also nearly the most difficult. Read that again. Gratitude, being nearly the greatest of human duties, is also nearly the most difficult. What's utterly fascinating about this quote is that he calls it the greatest duty, but then he also calls it a duty. Something that we commit ourselves to. And because it's something we commit ourselves to, it is tremendously difficult. It is quite often thought that gratitude is really the kind of disposition that develops when life is going well. That we are grateful for things when it seems like the stars are aligning, when it seems that everything is coming together and the perfection of which we have been dreaming. And we should have this emotion of gratitude that wells up within us in the midst of those circumstances where it's quite obvious that life is good. All that we've been wanting is coming to pass. All that we've been hoping for is very clearly right there. And gratitude, therefore, it is thought, can really only develop in those moments when we are in a sense of bliss. Circumstantially, things are quiet and calm and peaceful. And so if that is our understanding of gratitude, it's no wonder that it's quite often thought to not be available to us. That in fact, if gratitude is simply that which comes about when all the stars are aligned, how often do the stars align? They don't. And in Paul's text for today, what kind of person is he writing to? Particularly when he is asking them to, in their lives, approach the Lord with a disposition of thanksgiving. This entire passage is right around these words, with thanksgiving. What kind of person is he talking to? Well, interestingly, he's first talking to a person who is having a real tough time rejoicing in life. Which is why he uses a command. He doesn't say, you know, I hope that you will have the feeling of rejoicing. He does not say, I hope it comes to pass that you are overwhelmed with feelings. No, he says, listen, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm going to say it again, Rejoice. It's a command. Something that we do, not something that just kind of happens because the circumstances call for it. He's actually commanding people to rejoice. Are you one who has had difficulty in rejoicing? Are you one who has difficulty kind of putting yourself in a line of joyous reality when it seems like the life that you're living is crumbling and falling apart? Many of us are. And these people who are having a difficult time rejoicing, because there is conflict going on, because there are struggles being had, because they are at war within them about who God is and what He's doing in their lives. These are people who also are anxious. First, He's saying to people who are struggling, you need to rejoice. Now He's saying, don't be anxious. Which, of course, is really quite something to laugh at, huh? It's like, don't think of an elephant right now. You will. You can't just go up to someone and say, just stop being anxious, right? But this is what He does. Don't be anxious about it. That whatever it is you're going through, if you walk into it with a command to rejoice in whatever you're dealing with, and to do so by recognizing the way in which anxiety is debilitating you, you are therefore enabled to, He says, do the very things you may already be doing. That is to say, praying to God for help and petitioning God for help. When we are struggling in our inability to rejoice, when we are feeling desperately anxious, we often do pray. But the one thing that's quite often missing are those words, with thanksgiving. This passage falls apart if we move on without taking those two words to heart deeply. This is a pep talk. Rejoice, don't be anxious. Yes, pray and petition, but make sure that it's laced with thanksgiving. How do you do that when it seems as if there is very little to be thankful for? Is this something that we should just conjure up inside of ourselves and think of a few things? I'm thankful that the sun's shining today. How do we do that? Well, thanksgiving, this deep thanksgiving, is not just the polite response of, I'm so thankful that I've been given this or that. With thanksgiving is rather this deep feeling of gratitude for what God has done. And therefore, G.K. Chesterton writes, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. I love those words. That is to say, what does our minds constantly think of? They're usually thinking about things that could go wrong. They're usually thinking about things that we're frustrated about. You could be thinking about things that, what about the future? What am I going to do now? Or how is it that I deal with my past? He says that when people are really living their life with this God-given joy, the highest form of the thought that they could ever have is thanks. And deeper than that, gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Why that is so wonderful is that gratitude is not just this feeling of happiness that we have within us because we've been given something. And it should include that, right? Gratitude is being thankful for that which we did not deserve, but we've been given, as well as that which we did I got that backwards. Being given what we don't deserve and not being given what we do deserve. This gratitude for all God has done. But when he says it's happiness doubled by wonder, it is to say that we are not looking within us, but we are actually noticing outside of ourselves the wonder of the ways in which God is in fact at work. And yes, even in those difficult times, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of struggles that we would rather move on from. You will find sometimes when you will go to the most impoverished places of the world and you will find a church gathering under a tree, you will in the midst of those people find a gratitude and depth far greater than you've ever seen. Because they have within them this trust that God will provide and the ability to be awed by wonder. We are living in a world laced with the grace of God, laced with all those things that he has done on our behalf. And a wonder that the one who made it all, the one who is guiding and leading us, also thought so much of us that he would come, became flesh among us, and died to take our place. The wonder that love, that amazing love, could be shown in such a selfless and sacrificial way. Petitioning by prayer with thanksgiving to the Lord, being awed by wonder. Gratitude is not something that happens simply by happenstance. It is to say that when we come to the Lord, trying to rejoice where we are, trying to put aside our anxiety, we do so only by the guiding light of thanksgiving. Because how can we know that God is listening? By giving thanks that he has heard his people, as we read in Scripture, for centuries, and that he has in fact come down to die for us. How is it that we can know that the things that we're struggling with are things that he's going to pay attention to? Because Jesus says that we're thankful for his words in Scripture. It says, look at the fields. I clothe them. How much more will I clothe you? We're giving thankfulness that the words of Jesus are there telling us that he's a father who doesn't give bad gifts to his children, but wants to give them good ones. And so we give thanks that we have these promises to hold on to. We give thanks for the ways in which he has, in fact, brought us through so many scrapes before, so many times of struggles along the way. We give thanks for the fact that, yes, we have been given people to stand alongside of, that we have friends, that we have family, that we have the blessing of our children, that we have the blessing of a place to live and a job to put food on the table. We stop and to think about the ways in which we can be thankful. They are plenty. But it does not mean that those concerns that we have will fall away. It's just simply that we enter into them not with fear, not with debilitating anger or devastating anxiety. We enter them anew, knowing that we need his help. We need him to move and act, but we do it from the place of thanksgiving. That God, yes, I am awed by your wonder. Will you do it again? And therefore, G.K. Chesterton writes, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or you take them with gratitude. Whatever it is. And yes, it actually does mean that the struggle that we find ourselves in is something that we should receive with gratitude, because the Lord will not let it crush us. The Lord will not let it push us to despair. The Lord will not let it remove the love of God from us? Do we take things for granted or take them with gratitude? When we enter into life with gratitude, here is the promise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Only gratitude to the Lord can bring about that peace, that supernatural peace that will sustain us while we wait and wait for the answer to come. Let us come before the Lord now in a time of prayer.